Let's open our Bibles. We're going into Romans 8 tonight. And God willing, as we get into this, praise be to God. This is one of the great high water mark chapters in the entire Word of God. I thank the Lord. There's many places, and I think as the Lord kind of continues to, by His Spirit, open up the Word to us, we realize how vast every portion of Scripture is. And that's why He gave us the whole Word of God, not just pieces of it. And thank the Lord again how evident it is by His Spirit in this eighth chapter. But everything, praise God, is in this precious chapter. You think, again, how it's just going to hit us right at the beginning and encourage us, just as He's been doing throughout all of Romans, but especially these last three, four chapters. But the increase of encouragement goes to a whole new realm. You talk about, you know, the realm of grace, the realm of all these things, but now it's the realm of grace in the power of the Holy Ghost in us. And it's incredible. And the transforming power of what God has for us. But you think about this eighth chapter. You've got salvation. You've got eternal security. You've got the infilling, the fullness, praise be to God. And then the sum of all that grace, praise the Lord, the ruling and reigning jointly together to be glorified together as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. I thank God for this. And there isn't any, in a sense, more glorious portion of Scripture, but it's all glorious, and I thank God for that. So, Lord willing, we'll take some time as we go through this eighth chapter. I don't know how far we'll get tonight, but I'll tell you what, the depths of the Spirit, they're just endless as we go. But I want you to, as we address this eighth chapter, and right from the beginning here, it's so similar to the introduction that we've had in the fifth, in the sixth, and in the seventh chapter. And I'd like to go back and read the fifth, the sixth, the seventh chapter. Not the whole thing. I don't want to scare you. But we will do the first verse of each one of them. And think of what God is saying in the encouragement as it starts here. And notice that five being that great grace. But in the fifth chapter, in the first verse, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love to begin that way. Amen. I love, praise the Lord, that I know that I am justified because you know what? I believe in Jesus. I believe in Him. In Him. Not about Him. Not upon Him. I believe in Him. That He is, praise God, my Savior. That in that blood, in that death upon the cross, praise God, He's my Savior. So again, that great peace that starts the fifth chapter, then think of the sixth chapter. What shall we say then? The first verse there. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So again, that introduction of, my goodness, we're in this great realm of grace. And yes, there can't be anything laid to our charge. We know that. But again, God comforting us and encouraging us. Now are we the sons of God. How beautiful. The seventh chapter, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Now we've been instructed through all of this time that we understand that in Christ we died. We died with Him. Amen? So praise God, I don't live any longer. So that law has no dominion over me. That law has no dominion over you. Praise be to God. We now are married to another. That's what we learned and rejoiced in that precious seventh chapter. But again, establishing, brothers and sisters, whom He has made free is free indeed. That, praise God, there is nothing that can be laid to the charge of God's elect. Now, here we go, chapter 8, and here's how beautiful an introduction. Notice all the therefores. See, all of the stuff that we've just went through, boom, here it is, and boom, here it is, and there's more and more and more because the therefores keep coming because there's more building, amen, and it just builds greater and greater, and that's the line upon line and precept upon precept. So here we go. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, period. Period. I don't know if you have a type of Bible like a Schofield the latter part of that verse where it says, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, that is not in the original text of the Word of God. That was added in. You'll see that if you have a note on that. So again, I want to read the written and the holy Word of God. I thank God how He's brought this forth, but in that, that was added in. I think that that only would cause some type of confusion, if anything. But in this particular verse, how beautiful it is. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, period. Amen. And I thank God for this. And that obviously is right in line with what God has been building in all of these chapters preceding here in Romans, that Christ liveth in us. So we have absolute assurance and we have absolute confidence, brothers and sisters, that we reside in nothing else but the realm of grace. There is therefore now. Not someday, not will be, not predicated on how I feel, what my attitude is, not even can you imagine what my actions are. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And in Christ happens but one way, and praise God, that is through the blood. And them that are in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. So, you can't condemn me. I can't condemn myself. Satan, as hard as he might try through all of that, cannot do it. The Word of God declares, and praise God, it is concluded. I reckon it. I count him faithful. There is therefore now no condemnation. Praise God. Now, again, in that, we can apply everything that we just read. I don't go out there then and sin willfully that grace may abound. I don't go out there and try to hurt and deceive and to inflict pain because there's no condemnation to me in that. There might not be any condemnation to me, but there are sure consequences. The consequences of sin reigning upon our life when we're not repentant in heart, and I'm talking about a heart that's tender to God, there won't be any growth there. There won't be any edifying there. There won't be any love and truth that truly grows and permeates through a life. As you grow in grace, as Sister prayed, and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you grow in one thing. That's love. Love. And you want to edify because you become like Him. When you grow in grace, Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. He is grace. So if you grow in grace, you're growing in Jesus. And I'll tell you what, you read about Him, He's just incredible. He's loving always. He loves the unlovable. He loves through all of the dirtiness and all of these things. He's just lovely. So in that growth, brothers and sisters, we know that there's going to be transformation. The things that used to grip me, the things that maybe were so intrinsic in my personality, God begins to change. It's awesome, and I love it, and I'm thankful to the Lord. I don't need people to predetermine how I'm going to be. You know what? That's up to God, and it's going to transform. And you know the one thing is, if I go that way of truth and grace, I'm going to transform like Him. You're going to see Christ in me. That's what you're going to see. That's what you're going to see in you. You're going to see Christ. You're going to become transparent. You're going to become, praise the Lord, a living epistle read of men, praise the Lord, of the Word of God, Jesus Christ, hallelujah. And that's what this is about, and where we're launching off into is this transformation. So now why is there no condemnation, huh? Because there's nothing left to be condemned. That's what justified means. It means just as if I never sinned. Isn't that wonderful? See, and brothers and sisters, we got to get that about ourselves, and we got to get that about the brethren. We have to understand that about the body of Christ. Now, it's not that we condone everything and say, well, anything goes, but the love never stops. We understand that the forgiveness is already done, that we are new in Christ. Praise God, brothers and sisters. And that is our rejoicing. See, all of that judgment has been taken out of the way. The only thing a Christian is judged for at this time is reward. Is reward. We are before the judgment seat of Christ now. the judgment seat of Christ, not the great white throne of judgment. That will not be something that we face. If there's nothing to be condemned, if there's nothing to be judged, that white throne is judging for one thing, and we've read through that many times. Are you written in the Lamb's book alive? Nope. For them, and they're done. For us, we're already there, so praise be to God, there's nothing to be judged as far as sin. So the judgment seat of Christ that's going on now, he is judging us for reward. As he says, you know, as he comes, my reward is with me. And I love that in so many different levels, because I'll tell you what, there's a reward that's coming with him that was the first jump rapture too. So hallelujah and all of these things that God brings out in these Bible studies. But see, Christ took all of this for us, all of that condemnation, all of that judgment. He took it for us on the cross. So there is nothing, nothing to be left to our charge. Don't care about our brothers and sisters that want to keep digging up those things. Love them, love on, but brothers and sisters, don't get caught up in it. You're going to have to go on. As much as you love somebody, you're going to have to say, now, I love you, but this is not, I'm not going to go play in that mire anymore. We're just wasting our time there. We want to fellowship in the gospel of Christ. And you know what the gospel of Christ says? The gospel of Christ says there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So praise be to God. Is he your Savior? Amen. Well, there's no condemnation, so we don't need to talk about that. Praise God, we got to talk about victory. We need to talk about, praise God, the overcoming power, the Christ that lives in us. Hallelujah. That growth of righteousness that comes in a life by, again, nurturing and by that precious Holy Ghost empowering us to believe the Word of God. So again, there's nothing left to our charge. The debt has fully been paid. We are free indeed. And we begin, praise God, in this eighth chapter that we know that there is now no condemnation. And it's interesting, I will bring this out. We begin that there's no condemnation, and at the end of the eighth chapter, we end with there is no separation. Isn't that wonderful? See, we begin, there's no condemnation, and we end it, and we know there's no separation from his love. You talk about a sandwich of grace again. Think of all these sandwiches we've been talking about. You're just sandwiched in grace. You're immersed in grace. You're in the realm of grace. That's when you'll grow, when you realize how much he desires you. And again, what he's provided for you and the vision, praise God, of the Father for you. And it's all there in the life of his Son that lives in us. Praise be to God, brothers and sisters. We are all precious sons. Hallelujah. The Father thrills over every one of his sons because the Father thrills over Jesus. He loves his Son. He loves Christ in us. Hallelujah. And I am thankful to God to know that. Now, I'm not going to say that he, again, is pleased when we do not yield to him. I understand that. But let me tell you something. Anybody a parent here and you have a bunch of kids? And you don't need to raise your hand here, but you may not be pleased with your children, but don't you still love them? Don't you still, in a sense, it doesn't matter when they're doing wrong, and I've had my boys do wrong, but I was still thrilled, in a sense, that's my son. I know that's wrong. I know that that's very sad, and they didn't know better. That's not Christ in them, but that's still my son. I love him. I can see. I got a vision. Remember we talked about on Sunday? I got a vision. Now, he might not be living that vision, but I know, praise be to God, it's right in here. I got a vision of Christ in him. Can you imagine? And the hope of glory. That's it. And I believe we can trust God. I believe that he is the God of impossible. I believe, see, there's no odds against God. I've heard people say, well, he's the God that's against all odds. No, there's no odds. Don't say that. It's just nothing hard for God. And the hard thing for us is to believe that there's nothing hard for God. You know what I'm saying? And Lord, help our unbelief. But now, we're going to be introduced here in the eighth chapter, really for the first time, the power of the Holy Ghost. Not only are we sons, not only are we now the sons of God, but by the power of the Holy Ghost living and reigning in us. See, there's a difference there. See, we're talking about the power of his might. Not only are we sons, but by the power of his might, that transforming power reigning in us, we can even be sons that are well-pleasing to God. And how do we please God? We please God by faith. Amen? And faith is truly believing the word of God. And when we believe the word of God, what happens to the word? It works effectually, powerfully in us. And as we are well-pleasing to God, that means that faith, praise God, is growing. The word of God is being not just, in a sense, listened to. It's being heard. He that hath an ear, praise God, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And that transformation. See, and we can all attest to that. Think about how we've been around the Word, maybe even from knee-high to grasshopper, all those things. And you've listened, heard these verses, and they've been sweet at times to you. You know what I'm saying? And they've encouraged you at times. But then there was a transformation that the Word, praise God, that's mine. That's my life. That's my heartbeat. That's my breath. That's everything. I mean, it's just what it is. It's more real than this building. It's more real than anything that I know. That's when the word, praise God, really comes in and just, it's the effectual working power. It, praise God, it's Christ in you. It's just turned over to let this mind be in you. I don't need to think about, you've heard me say this, I appreciate what would Jesus do, but I don't think about what would Jesus do because he's just doing it. You see what I'm saying? He just does, and I thank God for this. I believe that we can trust him like that. I don't want to get into head games with myself. I just want to let the mind of Christ be in me. Amen? When you start battling, and a house divided against itself is going to fall. It's just going to. It can't be that way. I'd rather just say, you know what? God said it. That's called reckon it. Count him. Just add it up. You know what? That's the word of God. It's true. It doesn't matter what this sees. Doesn't matter what this feels. Doesn't matter even what this hears. It's what the word of God says. And that is true. That is all powerful. There is nothing that can stand up against the word of God. The victory has already been won. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And I thank God that, again, that is the power, that is the life that we have. Go on over to Ephesians chapter 3. And let's read from the 16th verse. Might as well just go to another high water mark, to another high water mark, huh? Praise his name. But in Ephesians 3:16, we pick this up. Paul is praying here, and it's one of the most fervent and pinnacle of all the Holy Ghost-inspired prayers in the Word of God. And Paul is praying for himself. Paul is praying for us to win God's best. Now let's read from the 16th verse there of the third chapter. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Now listen to this. To be strengthened with his might. Now we're talking Holy Ghost time, right? By his Spirit in the inner man. Isn't that something? The inner man. All right? Now let's keep going. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now that is some wonderful stuff. Praise God now, but I want to go back there as we started reading in that 16th verse, that word strengthened. Strengthened, brothers and sisters, that means to increase. That means to grow. And what is to be strengthened and increased and grow? Is it you? No, the inner man. Isn't that wonderful? That's Christ who liveth in you. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Who's feeding? Who's growing in your life? Turn it over to the life that now lives in you, the new man. Praise be to God. That is so wonderful. It's Christ in you, brothers and sisters. It is the new man, the inner man. And that's why, praise God, you can. That's why Christ in you can do all things. Because he's the one that strengthens, amen? And again, as we read here, this indwelling, this infilling of the Holy Ghost, it just continues to strengthen and grow up and feed and increase to that complete fullness and stature of Christ. It's just awesome. It is. It's just beyond what God has given to us so freely to grow up. But notice that all this strengthening and all this growing and all this increasing, what is it really about in this inner man? It's love. Isn't that wonderful? It's the love of God. That's the growth. Praise the Lord. See, to know him is to know love. Praise the Lord. I thank God for this. And that's why the Word of God says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. But see, that's what, why it's truth in love. Because that's what truth, the true truth is, the Word of God is. It's love. And when you approach this as some knowledge kind of a thing, or I know so much so I can just dazzle you with my knowledge, it's just going to fall to the ground. I remember watching different ones even on TV. Man, there was a couple, they could, my goodness, they knew the Greek, they knew Hebrew. They knew all of these different things. They could translate it. They could do all of this and that. And people were just awestruck, and all of these cerebral ones. I thank God that people at least were reading the Word of God in a sense that regards. But there was no power. There was no power. Because the power is the love. We don't study this for knowledge. This is a proposal. We're here dining with the lover of our soul. That's how we need to approach any time you read the Word of God as we come in here. And yes, we're individuals in a sense, but we're one in Christ. This is a body. And this is a body by the grace of God that are ones that will make up that body within the body, the glorious church. She's passionate about him. She is the Song of Solomon. She's that Shulamite that just rejoices about his beauty. He tells her how beautiful she is, but she's telling him all the time how beautiful you are. It's absolutely wonderful. And this is that, again, the courtship of the bride and really the wife who is made herself ready for him. But see, this is the knowledge of love. And really, brothers and sisters, it's to know and possess and increase in all of it. And so much so, as this says, to be filled with all the fullness of God. What is God? God is love. So this is, again, what it is. And it's not the touchy-feely things of what God's love is in his Son, and what his Son wants to do for us and in us and grow us up into and to take with him. See, ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus is love. That's what happens in that marriage. Being glorified together with him is love. He wants to make known to all, and he will, that he has loved her. He brings her out. She shares equally in the glory. Matter of fact, the Word of God tells us the woman is the glory of man. The descending from heaven having the glory of God is the new Jerusalem. It's the bride. Hallelujah. And why? Because she has the glory of God. It's all him. It's all him. It's all his life. But praise be to God, that's who liveth in you right now. That's who is being fed, praise God, right now. That's the transformation that's going on right now. Praise God. See, we know these things, but it's just a little bit deeper than we knew, huh? And you know what? By the grace of God, even tonight, it'll be a little bit deeper than we knew. And that's how it is. And God just always increasing it. But and you think about being filled with all the fullness of God. Yeah, I remember reading that and I think, well, that's just beyond my comprehension. I can't even imagine or think that. Well, verse 20 told me he already got that covered too. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, okay, Lord. You know, you tell people that. You tell Christians. You start to witness to him about Christ having a bride. Behold, I mean, that's out from the church that will rule and reign jointly with him. Oh, you're reading that wrong. What do you think that is exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think? What do you think that is? That's exactly what that is. It's beyond. And he gives us this, this sweet couple. Trusting God, and he made them one. But that's the greatest type that he gives us, naturally speaking, of love that we know naturally in this life is a husband and wife. And I'm so grateful to God that, you know, even man has done all of this, the scientific studies and all of that. The greatest stress that there is, the greatest stress is the passing of a spouse. And it's just incredible. Of all the things that could stress us out. And you don't think God knew what he was doing. He witnesses to us in everything. If we just pay attention and get our eyes off ourselves. So, this is what he does. And I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, it is beyond. It's just who God is. It's what he did. It's what he'll do if we just let. If we just be, praise God, and really let the glories roll, because that's exactly what will happen. All right, let's go back to our text. Can you imagine we made it to verse 2? All right. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So we see, it's clearly stated here, that there were two laws here laid out before us, and the one, everyone knew real well, that was the law of sin. All born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Powerful, destructive. The result of that is just death. But my goodness, there's a greater law, praise be to God, and that is the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? See, that's that precious Spirit that lives in us. And that life, praise God, of Christ Jesus, freed every child of God from the law. The law, I love the definition of what law means. Law means the order enforced. It is. It's the a law, or the law is the order that is enforced. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the new order, praise the Lord, in us, enforced by God. Think of that. It's enforced by God. And there's no other powers but of God. There's no greater power than of God. So nothing could ever usurp his authority. So this truly is divine law. It's divine order. Praise be to God. And I thank the Lord that that is the life that lives in us. And in this new order, or this new man, this inner man, praise God, in what has happened in the transformation, not only all the sin that we had done is gone, we're gone too. See, the new man lives. Isn't that wonderful? We're brand new. Brand new. Not something that was, you know, retreated or retreaded or something of that nature. We are brand new. We are a new creation in Christ. All things are become new. You'll find that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And so what is before us now is the power. And what Romans 8 really brings us into, or starts to bring us into, I should say, is the power to be delivered from the power of sin, or sin reigning upon our life. The power to live the life of a full overcomer in Christ. The power, praise God, to truly grow from an heir of God, to jointly suffer together with Jesus Christ, to become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And I thank God for this precious encouragement. But see, sin so simply is put down in our lives by faith. Did you know that? When we believe God, sin is put down. Amen. It's the truth. See, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So the opposite of that is very true. So whatever of faith is faith, praise God, sin can't exist there. It just is gone. And that's what believing the Word of God does. So when we harden our hearts to God or towards God, or towards His Word, I should be more specific, it's because we're selfish in our own will. It's the truth. When we do not want to take the things of the Word of God, we're hardening. We are selfish in our own will. We are not believing God for something. We are not receiving the Word of God. And when we do not receive the Word of God, we're refusing faith. We're going with our eyes. We're going with our feeling. We're going with what I think is right. And that's always a destructive way to go. It just is. Because we understand that there's a way that seemeth right to man, and that's a way of death. And all that grace, brothers and sisters, that God has given us in this precious realm is all there to believe the Word of God. But when we harden our hearts towards things in life, we've been through some different sermons here lately where I'm not going to forgive somebody. Well, I'll tolerate them, but I'm not going to forgive them. Well, you don't love them. That's the thing, because the love of Christ loves that soul, and there's a tenderness. It just overcomes all of that. It takes your personal thoughts and all of that, and it puts that in the sea of forgetfulness. Praise the Lord. And but when we harden our hearts towards anything, what we're doing is we're refusing the grace of God. As Paul said, we're making the grace of God void in our life. And I'm going to tell you something. When you are not able to believe God, it's because you're not receiving grace. Because if you don't have grace, you'll never have faith. You can't have faith without grace. You can't. So when you're hardened, you're refusing grace. God gives grace to the who? To the humble. Amen? Ones that say, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Do you know how hard that is for people to say? I'm wrong. Please let it be easy to say. Please. Because you know what? A lot of times you're wrong. Even when you are right about something, you have the wrong spirit about it. You need to receive this. This isn't about you. This is about Christ in you. And then right after I was wrong, then really get grace. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. But see, pride gets in the way, doesn't it? See, that's a big one. You know, especially when we haven't forgiven somebody for years. Especially when, you know what? We made a mistake. Even though we stood in principle, even though we thought it was the right thing. Oh, somebody's got to judge that. You better step and run away from that. But God help us, brothers and sisters. He gives grace to the humble. And let me tell you something. When you get grace, you'll believe God. You'll have great faith. You'll go on into deep things of God and glory. So let's think of this one more time here. We need faith. Amen. And we need more faith. Amen. Amen. And then faith, we know, comes one way, and that's by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And faith, praise God, or the Word works effectually or powerfully when we believe God. The Word doesn't work effectually in them that know a Scripture. Come on. The Word works effectually in them that are humble and lowly and receive grace to believe the Word of God. I might be able to quote it better than anybody, but I still may not believe it because I haven't received the grace to have the faith to believe the Word of God, to where it works effectually in me. There's an evidence, isn't there? You know what the evidence is what's coming out. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And let me tell you something, that fruit is not cold. It's not. that fruit is warm and it's loving and it's graceful, full of grace and forgiving. And that's the beginning, brothers and sisters, of opening the heart of God to us. Faith works by love. Always remember that. Faith works by love. Yes, we study to show ourselves approved, but what is the approval? We've studied this many times, brothers and sisters. It's showing, Lord, I love you. I'm not doing this as a study habit. Again, this is something that's it's the transformation of the love of God. We understand him as that Father, first of all, and that precious Savior. And then as we go on with the Lord, we understand he's a friend, and it's beautiful what the friend we have in Jesus. And that all stays there all the time. But then as we really grow in that love and the knowledge of his love, the mystery of Christ in the church, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, joint heirs, as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. Now it becomes this love, fervent love, the love of, praise God, the Shulamite and her love, the love of Esther and that king. It just, all of those types come forth, and how wonderful it is. Praise his name. But that again is why Paul's pinnacle prayer that we just read was to know the love of Christ. Because if we will know his love in its fullness, you'll believe the whole word of God. You will. And as you grow in love, you'll grow in faith. And as you grow in faith, you'll understand and believe more of the word of God, and more love will grow. And then you'll have more faith, again, to see more of the word of God. You won't stop. You won't just plateau and say, well, you know what? I'm not listening anymore. So-and-so was my pastor, or this was my teacher. You know, get over that. Didn't Paul address that so long ago? Well, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Cephas, and I'm of whatever it is. Come on, we're all of Christ. And I thank God that we follow Paul as he followed Christ. But Paul never pointed to himself. He was just pointing to himself in that truth and love, in that spirit and truth. Listen, it's important. God doesn't make mistakes. And I am confident that so many, you know, there was Moses. And everybody under 21, except for two, went on into the promise. Because all of the other ones said, what, maybe Joshua? Huh? Well, I studied under Moses. And your bones wax old in the desert. Know these things. God help us. And you'll grow. You really will grow. You'll grow in the right way, and that's the only way, is the love of God. All right, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Now we see this magnificent plan of the Father, again, to magnify his Son. Again, this is all to magnify his Son. And he did it in so many different ways, but here he says he did it because he showed that our flesh makes the law weak, or it makes it of no effect, because we can't keep the law. Yes, if the law could be kept, it could justify, but you can't keep the law. The flesh is too weak. It's not going to happen. And as well, the law magnified, right, the magnitude of sin in the flesh. By the law magnifying sin, it even more magnified, because the pinnacle of all this was to magnify the need of a Savior, and there was going to be but one Savior, and that was his precious Son, praise be to God, the Lamb of God. And Jesus, as it says here, in the likeness of sinful flesh, he condemned sin in the flesh and all that sin condemned, and he died and was buried. Praise the Lord. Finished, amen? So see, those are things that the old man is dead, and I thank God for these things. And this reckoning, this counting is so, it is such a it's so pronounced. It's so evident as God is just laying this line upon line and line upon line for us. Brothers and sisters, there's a reason. Because even though we think we see it sometimes and we think we believe it, we're not really living it. We go back to those beggarly things. That foundation is laid. Praise God. Now build on it. And this is what the Holy Ghost is right there to do. Now, as we go to verse 4, let's read it. It says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. See, look at that. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So see, the Spirit of life of Christ Jesus living in us, the righteous requirement of the law was fully met. And yes, it was. At that time, praise God, when Christ, hallelujah, came to live in me, hallelujah, all of that was met. He had met that on the cross, and praise be to God, I believe him, I believe in that blood, and it was fully applied to me. And now again, we can grow in that precious righteousness. Remember how we've been rejoicing as of late. We are fully righteous and holy, praise be to God. But the righteousness, that new man, can grow. The righteousness can grow. And that's why at the very end where Paul says about that crown that is laid up for him, that crown of rejoicing, that exalted is an exalted rank of righteousness crown as you go in and look at that. It's that growth of righteousness, the growth of the inner man, the new man in him that grew up into all things in Christ. So Christ in us is the hope of glory. The riches of his glory, praise God, are building in us. It's the inheritance of God in the saints, and let the new man be strengthened. That's what he's saying here. That's what we've been reading all the way from Ephesians when we went in there today, is that strengthening, that growth, that completion. Now, who are these? Who are these ones that are going to grow in this and the ones that do grow? They're the ones that are the spirit and truth worshipers. Did you know that? They are. They worship him in spirit and in truth. This is what we're entering into here. These are the ones that let the Holy Ghost reign. We're talking about believing God, believing in the love of God, that all of God's perfect and complete will, praise the Lord, can and will flow through us. And not by power, not by might, but again, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. See, the Spirit reigning in us, brothers and sisters, and we just walk. Isn't that wonderful? We just take a sweet little walk. That's what's so beautiful about this. See, he does all the empowering. He's the one that provides everything. And we merely walk in it by faith. Hallelujah. We just walk in it by faith. We're going to close with this tonight. Go over to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to end here just a second. But I am going to read with you the first 17 verses of this, because I think you'll just chew on it tonight and rejoice, I pray. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead. Remember all of this? Praise God. Here it is again. You're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, see, that's your life. You don't need to go finding it. It just found it right there for you. Christ is your life. Amen. So, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But here we go. But now. Amen? But now ye also put off all these. Put them off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man. See, it's already done. Which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in deed, word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Praise the Lord. Now see, this is going to be the overlying thought in everything that we go on throughout this eighth chapter. Brothers and sisters, we are righteous. We are holy. Hallelujah. Christ's life, the law of the order of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus lives in us. Amen. But now will we yield to that? Will we yield to it? It's so wonderful. Hallelujah. That's reckon and yield. Do you see that? That's the reckoning. Count it. It's done. That's who you are. That's what we have. That's the power, praise God, that lives in us. Reckon it. Count it. And now by the grace of God and by the power of his might, yield to it. All of these things that we just read, ye have put off. Ye have put off. And ye have put on. It is so marvelous here, brothers and sisters. There's no matter, there's no condemnation, there's no separation, but will there be growth? Will there be strengthening? Will there be the building of the masterpiece for ruling and reigning and glorified together with Jesus? That's the choice. That's the, God, help me to just be willing. Hallelujah, which, what you've already given. Will we dress and be clothed with who we are? Putting off the lies of the old man. You see, we have the DNA of the Father. Think about how many times in sermons and lessons that we've had recently. We've got it. We're born of God. That's the DNA we have. Our birth, our life is Christ. You can dress up in the nastiest of ways, but it will never change who you are in Christ. You cannot change your DNA. You can't. You cannot. Even naturally speaking, you cannot change it. How much more spiritually? Hallelujah. You've heard us, it said like this many times, you can act like a dog of dogs, but you will always be a sheep. You could smell like a dog, you could dress like a dog, you could talk like a dog, you could bark like a dog, you could do anything you want, but you are still a sheep. Amen. 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 So if we'll awaken to that, brothers and sisters, in the fullness of how blessed and how wondrous, praise God, what a glorious privilege that we are his sheep, that now are we the sons of God, that Christ does live in me, and how there would be nothing else I would desire save the garments of the new man. I want to take those things that he's already given me. Let the Holy Ghost now show them unto me. Show them off in me, praise God. Show Christ in me the hope of glory. And grow up into the life that lives in us. Because, brothers and sisters, we are now sons. Now let's grow to fully mature, reigning maturity with Jesus Christ. She wears the fine linen. Amen? That's our calling. Hallelujah. All right, let's be dismissed.